Good morning, everybody. We are glad that you are here today. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're well enough to be here. And I wanted to start in John chapter 8 this morning and read the words of Jesus. Chester will be leading us in singing here shortly. In John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." So Jesus points out, and of course is misunderstood by God's people. He says, "The truth will set you free." And they look at him and say, well, Jesus, we really don't know what you're talking about because we've never been owned by anyone. We've always been free. We don't have a need to be set free." And Jesus points out the truth that is an eternal reality that is still applicable today. When you are in your sins, you are a slave to your sins. There's no playing around with it. There's no testing it out. There's no dabbling. You're either set free through the blood of Jesus Christ or you are in your sins. And that need for Jesus, for everyone, directs our steps, guides our lives, has brought us here today. Our need for Jesus. It's good to be here. It's good to approach his throne of grace and mercy. He has told us that we will find help in all that we need. So let's go to our Father in prayer this morning. Let's celebrate him in song. Let's listen to his words. And let's enjoy the freedom that we have from our sins. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we are grateful that you have set us free from our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have heard the truth of what your Son has done. We believe with all our hearts that his blood has set us free. Father, we understand that we were dead in our sin, in our transgressions. And Father, as we come together this morning, we celebrate the fact that we have been made alive, born again through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the life that you have given us through your Son, because that is the life that is eternal. We thank you for giving us voices this morning that may offer up to you a spiritual sacrifice, sacrifice of praise. Father, we ask that our worship is received well by you. We ask, Father, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can still hear the words of Jesus and understand for our lives. Blessed be your name. We love you. We are so grateful for all that you have done for us. We thank you for giving us strength each and every day. We thank you for guiding us through this difficult year, for protecting us. And we pray, Father, that in dark times, that we will not hide your light, but we will shine all the brighter. Father, we offer these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, everybody, let's stand and sing this song together. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope. I have a future. God has a plan for me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful. Mighty in power, God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Please be seated. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound bound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Good morning. The scripture reading today will be from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through the end of the chapter. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, and the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all people, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. Will you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, I pray that this morning you break our hearts and set this on us, Lord. Just let us know, let us take in the importance of you, Lord, the meaning. Lord, just help us understand and help us to realize, Lord, that everything comes from you. Everything is through you. We thank you for the mercy and grace you have shown us. And we're thankful that we can all be here this morning. It's all in your name we pray. Amen.
In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and I be dismayed. Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever walketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and He will walk with me. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
As we begin to enter into communion, we'll be singing a song soon. One of the great things about being in the body of Christ is, and this is something we kind of briefly talked about, my family and I, this morning, that in a sense, if we, you know, face trials here and we make it through those trials, we still get to be here amongst each other. But if we don't make it through the trials in this life, we go to heaven. So it's a win-win. Before Jesus came along, there were scenarios of people being taken up to heaven. But overall, for the most part, when somebody died in this world, that was it, as far as they were concerned. And so we have a greater hope because Jesus rose from the dead and He made the resurrection possible. So, something to think about as we sing this next song and focus on the Lord's Supper. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See, from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying
like a robe spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small.
Read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Paul reminds us that in this cup and in this bread, we share, we have fellowship, and we participate in the blood of Christ and in the body of Christ. And because of that, we, although we may have differences, because of what we share in this table, we are one body. Then again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we all were made to drink of one Spirit. Paul reminds us again that in our baptism we were united with Christ. And being united with Christ, we are united with each other. And we share that unity today in taking the bread and the cup. Then in Ephesians, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all. And I think we don't do any violence to the scriptures by also saying that there is one table of the Lord that we come together around to fellowship in the body and the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for the opportunity we have each week to share in that bread and to share in the body of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we give you thanks for this cup of blessing. Help us to remember always that it is the new covenant in the blood of your Son that forgives us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for the grace that we share in your Son. Thank you for the opportunity you give to us to join together and to recognize with each other the fellowship that we have with you through your Son, Jesus. Thank you in his name. Amen. If you wish to give to the support of this church, there are collection plates in the foyer.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. When the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken evermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let heaven ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad.
Well, I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, good holiday, spent with your family, and I hope that you have taken some time this week to really give thanks, to focus on the good that God has blessed you with, just to be reminded of His provision, and just to praise His name for all good things that He does and gives. It's good to be reminded. It's good to humble our hearts before Him and let Him know, God, we know. All right, before we get into the Word this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we are grateful to hear You speak. We are grateful to be able to offer to You not only our songs of praise, but our hearts in obedience. And we offer You our lives in faith, trusting Your promises, believing Your word, finding our hope in You alone. Heavenly Father, we gather together this morning, again in a world that is unsettling beneath our feet. But Father, we are grateful for this because You are our rock. You are our foundation, and You do not change with every wind that blows this way and that. You are greater. You are mightier. You are above, and You are more powerful than all things going on around us in this world. So I pray, Father, as we study Your word together and as we walk each day, that we will focus on You. Blessed be Your name in Your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday we finished our study through the book of Ephesians. We were taking a look at all the things that the Apostle Paul says. These things happen in the heavenly places. And we ended with Ephesians chapter 6 and Paul looking at the church and saying that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but that our fight is against the spiritual forces of evil. And I'm just recapping because it kind of brings us into today, because one of the things that we saw that was very important was the fact that because Jesus has left us here in this world, because you and I are here right now, and because we are called to fight, not against people that we see, but to fight against those spiritual forces of evil that we cannot see with our eyes. That the Apostle Paul is looking at the church and saying, God has not redeemed you to swoop you out of the world and to make you a non-factor. But instead, God has redeemed you, has saved you, has placed you within His body, and then kept His body right here in His creation so that we would be a part of the fight. This morning we're going to take a look at some really good news. That even though we have a connection and a responsibility to God's creation, some good news this morning is that we are here in this fight and in this condition and in this state temporarily. And with this year, that's really good news, isn't it? To know that everything that we see with our eyes is temporary. That it's not going to last. All the troubles and the worries and the problems and just the constant unsettling. It's temporary. Now, what we're going to see this morning is that really how God describes us is visitors who care about the outcome of the place in which they find themselves. Visitors who care about the outcome of the place in which they find themselves. It's an important word, sojourner. And it's not a tourist. You know, too often we think of ourselves when we read these things about this world is not my home, and God has said that I am a sojourner, that I am a visitor here. We tend to think of ourselves as those on vacation, that we're just seeing the sights, right? We saved up and we got some days off of work and we just, you know, we go someplace for a few days and we ride the rides and we see the attractions and we, you know, we answer the incessant questions coming up from the back seat of, are we there yet? And we tend to think of our Christian lives and our Christian ministry in this world as unaffected visitors. That is not who we are. We're sojourners. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven with the Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven with the Lord. That's where we are from. That's where we will go home to. But right now we are sojourning. We're traveling. We're not trapped. We're just in a place that's not home. This place and our form, it's temporary for us. Boy, if we could... could you imagine a year ago, Thanksgiving 2019, and someone said, hey, a year from now, check this out. And they give you the list. I don't know if anybody actually watches TV anymore, but one of my favorite commercials right now is Captain Obvious. I think he's Hotels.com. And he comes back from the future to tell himself all the stuff that's been happening this year. And of course, he ends Captain Obvious. He dresses like a captain, a weird captain. And he ends it with, oh yeah, one more thing. All the things in 2020 that have happened that he's telling his former self to be ready for. He says, oh yeah, and he pulls his hat off, and Captain Obvious is bald. He said, we're bald now, so there's that. And it cracks me up, because could you imagine if you had that ability a year ago to come back and say, hey, hold on, right? Because look at all the things that are going to happen in 2020. And it has, and I've used the word just a minute ago, but it really is. If nothing else, it has just been a very unsettling year. It's been very unsettling. It's been very different. It's been very, very strange. Now, when I say unsettling, I don't mean that, oh, we're all, you know, devolving into fear and chaos and all of that. It's just been very different than any year that we can remember in near recent history. But really, church, all the things that have been different, I kind of like. I mean, I don't enjoy present circumstances. I don't get a kick out of the things that I have to do now with my life. I'm not reveling in, ooh, yay, isn't this fun? But if nothing else, it just kind of shaken us by the shoulders. And if nothing else, it's prevented us, you and I, from really just kind of sleepwalking through our lives. Because we are so quick to set the cruise control. We are so quick to put our lives on autopilot and just do the things that we know how to do and why to do and just do them over and over and over and over. And we kind of like that. We kind of like that. But God has used this year to say, hey, wake up. Wake up. The Bible refers to you and I, again, sojourner, those who are somewhere that is not their true home. This is not a vacation. This is not 4 days and then, you know, drive back home. It's an extended stay. Sojourners were stuck someplace for a while, but it wasn't their home. Now, they had to do certain things and live certain ways to kind of fit in and get by, but it wasn't home. I mean, they were there for a while, but it wasn't home. Garrett read for us in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says, God is the God of everything. God is the God of everything. And right in the middle of that section of Scripture, it says, God just breaks out and he says, I love the sojourner. I just love him. That's kind of a strange thing that God is saying, hey, I am greater than this and I'm bigger than that. I'm responsible for all this and I take care of everything. And oh, by the way, you know what? I love the sojourner. What? You love the sojourner? He says, yeah, and you know what? You need to love the sojourner. Wait, you want us to love the sojourner? He goes, yeah, you remember that whole, remember that whole Egypt thing? You were sojourners. Wasn't your home. Hey, I don't know, off the top of your head, anybody remember how long Israel was in Egypt? How long? 400 years. That's almost long enough to consider it home, right? Your home, your parents' home, your grandparents' home, your great-great-great-great. That's a lot of years. That's a lot of years. In fact, that's a lot of lifetimes. And all those lifetimes, God says, you are not home. This is not your home. When Moses shows up and says, hey, God's doing something, buckle up. Does it surprise us that they went, whatever. What's God doing? I mean, we've been faithful. We've held on. We've been sojourner. What's he going to do? Moses said, well, check this out. Okay, the Holy Spirit's saying, Michael, there's all sorts of correlations with 2020. Not my lesson this morning. Holy Spirit gets in the way sometimes, right? I mean, you got plans, you want to go this way, and he says, this way. God says, I love the sojourner. You need to love the sojourner, and do you remember when you were sojourners too? When Moses comes to Israel in Egypt and says, hey, it's time. It's time. Hey, grab all of their stuff. Let's go. And they went. They went. And they went out and they wandered. They wandered. God says, hey, now that we're out here, look, I can be with you. Follow the cloud. Follow the smoke. Follow the fire. I'm going to bring you to this mountain. Ooh, that's a scary mountain, Lord. I know. I made it. Moses, come up here. We're going to talk for a while. Get all you people settled. Moses has been gone for a while. Right? I mean, it's not like been 400 years of lifetimes, but it's been a few days. Is he coming back? I don't know, but I just feel like worshiping. You ever get the hankering for worship? You just need to worship something, anything. I don't know. God, an animal, your remote, your cell phone. I don't know. You just, gotta worship something. I don't care if it's something I'm made in its image. Give me anything. I gotta worship. They're silly. They're silly. Well, this brings us to today's text. 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a letter written by Peter, and he says in the very first verse, he calls them, these churches that are throughout Asia Minor, he calls them exiles. He says, this is who I'm writing to. Church, you gotta know, you are exiles. You are sojourners. You are those who are in a place for a while. He didn't say, okay, you've all gotta live a nomadic life. Y'all gotta pick up the walking staff and you gotta live in a tent. It's not what he's saying. He didn't say you all have to become missionaries, you all have to go across an ocean, or you can't have a permanent mailing address. It's not what he's saying. But he is looking at all of these Christians and saying, you are exiles, because I know, and you should know, that this is not it. You're here. It's temporary. Okay. Well, Peter's going to help you and I figure out a little bit better this morning. Because here's the real question. How do I do temporary? How do I live this life being faithful to God, being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, and how do I do it in this temporary situation? What's that look like? What's that look like? 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, chapter 1, he kind of sets it up. Our text is in chapter 2. But listen to what he does in chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Peter takes the first chapter and he basically says, this is the identity of an exile. This is who you are. This is who you are. And the things that you are actually waiting for Jesus to bring is what defines you. That's an interesting way to look at things. My identity is based on what Jesus is going to bring me when he returns. Okay. All right. So I'm here, but I'm not always going to be here. I have a home, and it's a little different, and, you know, just like God trying to bring Israel to the promised land, wandering through the wilderness to get there, deciding that it was harder to walk by faith than by the ways of this world. That didn't turn out so well. Chapter 2, the apostle says, here's how you live as exiles. How do we live as exiles? How are we going to live as people that are not quite home, but still have a reason for being here? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As he once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see you your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. How to live as exiles. All right, now that we have received the grace of God, we are to proclaim his excellencies. We are to actually tell other people how good God has been to us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be telling other people how good God is to us. Well, Michael, that kind of sounds like bragging. No. You don't tell other people how good you are because of God. You tell other people how good God is. You just get to enjoy it. So we are called out of darkness. We are called to this new light to proclaim the excellencies of him. He's our brag. He's our boast. Not ourselves. We don't tell people, wow, God's really changed my life. Look at me now. I mean, you can start there, but the story better be about God quick. Because he's the one that changed your life. I mean, you're just the evidence. You're God's exhibit B or A or however many letters down the line you think you are. You're just a piece of evidence pointing to what? Pointing to how good God is. So you proclaim how excellent he is. So as Christians, it says that we live as sojourners by avoiding the passions of the flesh. So there are some things in this world that we need to stay away from. To abstain from the passions of the flesh. Because the passions of the flesh, the temptations that you and I may fall to or stand up to, these things are at war with our soul. Hence the whole Ephesians chapter 6 that we did last week. It is not just, oh, well, whoops, I messed up. Or whoops, I shouldn't have done that. Or whoops, I probably need to change this thing in my life. Yeah, you probably should. Because those temptations and those sins are fighting for your soul, for your eternal existence. Those are the weapons that the enemy is using. Well, I'm going to convince them it's fun. I'm going to convince them that they're in control of their own lives. And I'm just going to give them a little bit. And I'm going to convince them that this is a good thing. And I'm going to convince them that whatever it is that the enemy uses to convince you to do what he wants you to do. Well, I'll convince them that they're right. I'll convince them that they don't need to listen to anybody. I'll convince them that they're in charge of their own destiny. I'll convince them that their righteousness comes from themselves. See, it's not just, bad things that we don't like to put a name to because we have kids in the room. The enemy tempts us. And he tempts us, well, it's nothing new and it's nothing unique. He's got our number. He knows where our pride is. He kind of pokes at it or feeds it. And we kind of fall to it. So Peter here reminds us that as sojourners, as those who are not truly home, we need to abstain from the passions of the flesh, because that is a bigger war for our actual soul. But then he encourages us in verse 12. Look, keep your conduct. Look, the way you live among the people that you're living around, keep it honorable. Do things that anybody, if they saw, would say, okay, that's a good thing. That's a good way to go. That's a good decision. That's a good life. Let them see that and let it be honorable so that they may glorify God on the day of visitation. They may say, oh, that is the outcome of those good decisions. You ever known anyone that they couldn't make a good decision if they tried? I mean, it just seemed like everything they were doing was just bad decision after bad decision after bad. And you looked at them and just went, are you not seeing this? And they say, boy, I can't, nothing goes right for me. Everything's just falling apart. Everything's, well, what are you doing about it? Well, you know, I did this or I did that. I mean, I'll just pick one out of the air so as not to pick on anybody too personally. But if you've seen somebody that had a lot of financial trouble, and they say, oh, I just can't get ahead. Really? How many hours are you working? 25 a week. And that paycheck's just not big enough. Really? I think I see part of the problem. I just can't get ahead. My debt's just piling up. Well, okay, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm using Visa to pay off MasterCard, but then Visa wants a payment. I can't get ahead. I got to buy this on credit. I got to buy that on credit. I think I see a problem. I see a pattern here. Now, apply that to any part of your life, but we know people that just don't make good decisions, and then they wonder, why are things not working for me? Why does this not seem to be working? Here's another example. You talk to someone and they're like, boy, I don't know what it is. I don't know why my spouse can't get with the program. Right? And this can go, you know, husbands or wives. Either way. Husband's just griping at his buddies. My wife's always in a bad mood. I mean, come on. I tell her everything she's doing wrong so that she can be better. And she's always mad about it. I mean, who knows her problems better than me? I'm helping her. Right? Or the wife that talks to her wife friends and says, my husband is a clown. I mean, he is just a straight up clown. He thinks that telling me how to do everything is going to make it better. Like, he just pops in and says, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing this. Well, you know, if you did it this way, it'd be better. I want to talk about safe things that we can't, you know, really relate to. We wonder, why are they always upset with me? Why are they so distant from me? Why are they so cold? It's been a while since you've shown me any affection. It's been a while since you said, I love you. It's been a while since you just held my hand or did something nice for me. Well, I was waiting for you to do something nice for me. Vicious cycle. I believe that we're called to sacrifice, right? You want a better marriage? Be a better spouse. I mean, it's pretty easy. It's hard to do, but it's easy to know how to do it. You want your marriage to go better? Then do it. Do it. You don't sit there and just go, all right, any minute now. Any day now, they'll realize what a catch I am, and they'll start appreciating me again. No, you don't wait for a good marriage to happen. You be the good spouse that you want. That's how it happens. You want better control on your finances? Make good money decisions. Let the people around you see your conduct and say, hey, something good is going on there. Well, let me tell you, because it's not me. Because I was a mess. But look what Jesus has done. Look what Jesus has done. Now, as we travel through, we're supposed to be singing his praises. Now, I won't even ask for forgiveness because I didn't do this. But the Apostle Peter, in his authority and his inspirational writing, saw fit to put verse 13 right after all of this sojourner and exile stuff. And believe me, I am not happy about it either. But right there, after saying, hey, you know what? You need to live your life in such a way so that people actually see you and glorify God. And then the very next word, be subject. Subject? Yeah, that's right. Submit. Submit? The very next word, submit. All right, well, I guess if I'm going to live a life that lets people know about God, I'm going to have to submit to God. So, okay, I can submit to God. Peter says, keep reading. Be subject, oh, wait a minute, it doesn't say to the Lord. It says for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Like I said, I'm not any more happy than you are that it's in there. Drives me crazy too. But there it is. Whether it be the emperor supreme or the governors is sent by him to punish those who do evil. Now, be subject to every human institution for the Lord's sake. And then Peter has the nerve to write verse 16, live as people who are free. Live as people who are free. You just told me to submit myself to every human institution. You just told me that whatever authority is going on in this place where I am sojourning, that I am to submit myself under the yoke of authority, and then you have the nerve in the same paragraph to say, hey, live as free people. Was this a joke, Peter? What do I do with this? What do I do with this? That's right. Free servants. Free servants, that's how you live. Free. Free servants? Okay. So, what am I free from? Well, church, you know what you're free from. I know what I'm free from. It's what he saved us from. We're free from sin. We're free from sin. We are free people. At one time, we were controlled by the enemy. At one time, and if we are outside of Christ, and those that are still outside of Christ, they are not free. They are slaves. Slaves to sin, slaves to death. They're not free. But in Jesus Christ, we find freedom. Freedom. Oh, that whole sin thing, taken care of. I'm free. That whole death thing, taken care of. I'm free. Peter says, great. Now, you don't need to use your freedom to go back and sin. You need to use your freedom to be in subjection to those around you for the sake of God's good name. What? Hey, let's just go back to that previous conversation we were having. Did you ever do something for your spouse that you really didn't want to do, but you knew it made them happy, so you did it anyway? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I do what I want to do, and she just gets to deal with it. Count herself blessed because I'm so wonderful. She's just lucky to share the house with me. See, she's still laughing. It's all right. I won't get in trouble till later, so it's okay. So as long as I stand up here and keep on talking, I'm safe. Of course you loved someone else enough that you said, I'm going to do something for them. that offers no benefit to myself. It's called sacrificial love. You ever do anything for your kids? Good, Wyatt. Wyatt said, no. Wyatt, your parents ever do anything good for you? Yeah, there it is. Okay, there it is. Yeah, you didn't have to. I mean, some things you have to do for those kids, but some things you just do just because you want to. And some things you do for them, you don't really want to, but you do it anyway. And you do it out of love, right? You just do it out of love. You just do it out of love. And so Peter here says, look, because of God, because of God's love for you and your love for him, you need to be in submission. For this is the will of God in verse 15. That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Because people say all sorts of things about you. People say all sorts of things about Christianity. People say all sorts of things about those who are disciples of Jesus. And he says, live a good life and don't give them any reason to say anything bad about God. Okay. All right. Well, if I'm always griping and moaning and complaining about everything that they got going on, that doesn't make us look too good, does it? No. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. If I'm always just looking for a fight and just always just looking for an argument to win, and if I see, wait a minute, if I start to see people as the enemy to be conquered, I've lost that whole spiritual warfare thing that Paul told us about in Ephesians 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil. But if I start to see flesh and blood as my enemy, someone to be avoided or conquered or, you know, just anything besides loved, I missed it. And so Peter says, you need to be free servants. Be a witness to God's glory by loving, trusting, believing him enough to serve others. That's what he calls us to. That's what he calls us to. So know that God takes care of those who trust him. Let's turn over to Psalm 146. I want to close it here. Psalm 146. This song, I mean, it's a psalm. I'm assuming it's a song. Chester, you can tell me where the sheet music is to this thing. I would sing it. I'm just going to read it for you because I don't know how the tune goes yet. But I would sing this song. I've been reading it and playing it over all week long. All week long. Psalm 146. Now, the reason why I know this is kind of weird, we're ending in the Old Testament. Some of you are sitting there going, has he never done this before? You're getting close to the invitation. I mean, you've got to get back to the gospel. You've got to get back to Jesus. Now, we're closing in the Old Testament this morning. We started in the Old Testament. We're going to close in the Old Testament. Psalm 146 reveals so much about the nature of God. And it draws us to praise and worship him. And look, I realize that as we read 1 Peter chapter 2, and as we take in that difficult prescription of what it means to be a sojourner and an exile in this world, as we swallow that difficult pill of, look, you're serving God by submitting yourself to those around you. I don't want to do that. I know, but that's how you're glorifying God, and that's how other people are seeing God, how good he is, because they look at you and go, why would they be willing to put someone else above themselves? Why are they not selfish like everybody else? Everybody I see is selfish. Everybody I see is out in it for themselves. Everybody I see just says, you know what? This is my opinion. This is how it is, and that's how it's going to be. Everyone I see in here, that's their story. Go me. And then I got this person who comes along and says, hey, what do you got going on? Because go God. Psalm 146 puts a song to this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, if you haven't caught it yet, he's excited. And he's going to stay excited. And as long as he draws breath, as long as they are capable, as long as it is humanly possible, I am going to praise God. Then in verse 3, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When the breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. This is kind of like what Chester mentioned a few minutes ago, that we don't put our hope in man. Why? Because man lives and man dies. And when man dies, so goes his plans. Everything he's trying to accomplish, he's gone, they're done. So how about you not live for those that just like you, live a life, die, next up? It's not very stable, is it? Nope, it's not. Because if all I can do is follow you to the grave, well, I'm in trouble. So he says, don't put your trust in man. Verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Now, you're going to be happy and your life is going to be blessed if you actually put your hope and your faith and your trust in the true eternal God. He made everything. He made everything. He did. He made it. It's his. Right? See, you weren't even paying attention. The most insidious part of that whole argument, you know why it's there. The enemy said, hey, if I can just convince them that they're on this little spinning marble that came out of an explosion of a bunch of nothing, and they're all just doing this, flying through an eternal miles and miles and miles of space, going somewhere, but we have no idea where. If I can all convince them that they're just this little something that somehow magically evolved from something else, happy accident. That whole thing, what is it? It's an argument to convince you that you are insignificant. That you really aren't any more important than that rock you kicked in the parking lot. Because it's all just atoms anyway. That's all it is. Yet God's word says, well, he made the heaven, the earth, the sea, everything that's in them. He keeps faith forever. Now, these next verses, take a look at who God looks out for, is interested in, takes care of. Verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed. You ever been oppressed? God is your justice. Who gives food to the hungry. Anybody eat Thursday? God did that. I mean, some of you got to help in the preparation. But God gave that food, right? Because who do we say the prayer to Thursday? I mean, we were very grateful for the hands that prepared it. In fact, they were blessed by our words. But God provided the food, just like he did Friday and yesterday and hopefully here in a little bit. You ever been a prisoner? The Lord sets the prisoner free. You ever been blind? Well, not literally, Michael, but you ever had any things in your life that you didn't see too clearly? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Ooh. You ever been bowed down? I mean, not in worship, not in repose, but just life has just knocked you over again. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Hey, you ever been righteous? Oh, good. The Lord loves the righteous. Hey, verse 9. The Lord watches over the sojourners. The Lord watches over the sojourners.
I can trust God enough to travel through this world because He looks out for me. Because He takes care of me. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Look, church, if you, and I'm talking to you this morning, I'm not talking to all those heathens that aren't here today. I'm talking to you. If you have ever forgotten that the Lord is in charge, this is for you. Now, you're not going to say it out loud, but you know those moments of weakness where you forget that your marriage is an opportunity to serve someone and not serve yourself? You forgot the Lord was in charge. That moment when you thought that well, I have to take care of myself because no one else is taking care of me. You forgot the Lord was in charge. That moment when you cried out loud and says, well, I don't know how this is ever going to get fixed or be better. Or I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how we're going to make it. You forgot that the Lord was in charge. See, none of us are vocal atheists. Unfortunately, we're just practical atheists from time to time. Do not forget that the Lord is in charge. He made it. It's His. And He cares about everybody in it. When you look at your enemy, well, if you just look at him and call him an enemy, consider them an opponent. You forgot the Lord was in charge. We shall all bow the knee and confess the name of Jesus. All of us sitting here and all of them out there. So as we're traveling through this place, 100% sure of the hope that has been given to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because we await from heaven a Savior who is going to bring His grace to us. Because we know that our home is eternal and with Him and cannot be destroyed by time, by rust, by thief, by anything. Because that is our hope, then we can be faithful travelers in this world and actually care about it as much as He does. Church, this is what we were talking about last Sunday, and this kind of carries in that same direction. When you're a tourist, you don't care about the local economy. When you're a tourist, you don't care about the local unemployment rate. You care about what size the mouse ear hat you need for the family picture. That is tourist concerns, right? Tourists are only concerned about, hey, can we have a table for eight at this restaurant? Wait, we got to wait how long to be served? That's tourist talk. That's tourist living. Sojourners actually care about the good of the land and the people and the situation they find themselves in. Church, it's time for us to care about those around us. It's time for us to be a witness to the good that God has done for us. Now, what has 2020 done? It's done pretty much what everything else in this world has done. It's just caused us to become insular. It's caused us to worry about ourselves instead of other people.
It's just caused us to be scared so that we have to make sure that our family is and our people and ours are okay and are safe. It's just something else being used against us so that we won't go across the street or across the aisle and just talk to somebody else about what they need in their life that you have found. Are we going to be good sojourners? Are we just going to be tourists? We're called to one. We're not called to the other. You have enough to share with those around you. Share it. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to get in the game. We invite you to respond to the fact that Jesus and His blood bring you out of darkness into light. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to be born again in the waters of baptism into a new life. Because you can't live it until you start it. And it begins with birth. It begins with birth that He gives us in Christ. Now, church, those of us that are reborn, those of us that have already walked into His light, it's time to open our eyes. It's time to open our eyes. And if your life, for too long, you've just been walking around surrounded by mirrors, it's time to break through. It's time to break through, because really the purpose of free servants, it's not about us. It's not about us. The purpose of my marriage is not to make me happy. It's to give me an opportunity to serve in a sacrificial way. The purpose of my family and my kids is not about me, and somehow they will give me family pride and carry on the traditions and the family name and make me look good and give me good things to tell people in conversation. The purpose of my family is to bless another generation with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The purpose of us being a part of this one body is not to show up and say, well, I've done what I had to do today, or I look good in other people's eyes and they think highly of me. The purpose of being a part of that body is saying, okay, what part am I? And then what do I do with it? How do I serve with it? How do I walk in freedom and serve others? Church, that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're called to be. So if you need to respond today, if you need to become a Christian, if you need the prayers of the body, if you need encouragement, whatever it is, we're here for you. Let us do our part in helping you. So if you need anything, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
Lord, let your light of your face shine on us. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life, to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us. Lord, let your grace from your hand fall on us. Lord, let your grace from your hand fall on us, that we may be saved, that we have life, to find our way in in the darkest night, let your grace fall on us. Lord, let your love, love with no end, come over us. Lord, let your love, love with no end, come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your love come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your love come over us. Let your light shine on us. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see you. Now it's time to share any news we have with one another, if we have any announcements that need to be brought to our attention at this time. Okay. Good to see Rex with us again. Good to have visitors with us. It's good to see you here. We do still have some that are traveling, that are away during the holiday season. Want to remember them in prayers. We have those who are visiting with us that will be traveling back as well. So pray for a safe journey for them. If nothing else, let's go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. To have a Father that looks down upon us and just loves us so much that he and cares for us so much that he grants us those things that we take for granted. And Father, forgive us when we do this. Forgive us that you created everything. Everything we have is yours. Our food that we eat that sustains life, our clothing, our shelters, our homes, our jobs, our schools, everything is yours. And Father, you created it for us, and it is our responsibility that we are to take care of it and to live our lives in accordance to your will, in accordance to your word. Help us never to forget that life here is short. This is not our home. We long to be where you are. We long to be in the heavenly places. And Father, but while we are here, help us to live a life that is worthy of your calling. Help us to live a life that makes us the light of the world, that others can see you, your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in us, protecting us, guiding our footsteps daily. Father, help us to be that shining example into the world. Help us not to fear or be afraid of the things that are going on at this time. Help us to have faith, knowing that you are in control. There's nothing out there in the world that we should fear. Grant us such a faith. Give us your strength each day of our lives to overcome the obstacles that keep us from worshiping you, that keep us from loving you, that keep us from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that you be with those that are traveling on the roads, that they reach their destination safely. Grant them a safe journey. We pray for those that we're not aware of, that are suffering. Lord, that help them to feel your love and your arms around them. We pray that you restore them to their health. Give their bodies strength. Take away their pain and suffering. Grant them comfort. And we pray that you be with Donna's Uncle Danny, that you heal his body. Take away the things that are affecting him. Father, we pray that you be with Alexa and the baby that is coming, and we pray for health for both. We pray for the families, Lord, that grant them patience and grant them strength as they expect this newborn. We're thankful that Linda is out of the hospital. We pray for her continuing growth and strength. And Father, we pray that you be with Brother Terry Stone, that you grant him comfort to help ease his mind in the upcoming surgery he has with knee replacement. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for, but most of all, that you are our Heavenly Father. Help us to serve you and love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, all of our strength. Help us to praise you each day of our lives as we walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with us at this time. Keep us safe from harm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.